You're listening to Cadence, a podcast for creatives. I'm Yenna Zaro.
And I'm Hafsa Majinua.
If you're new to the podcast, Cadence is a conversation around topics that we wish we'd been more informed on when we started out in our career paths. The hope is to arm you, the listener, with some takes and tips that might be of service as you venture out on your own unique path, and to just have a fun conversation. We want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Venue by 4M, where we usually record our podcast sessions. They are located in Ann Arbor, have great food and ample parking. But today we have the pleasure of chatting with Chris Johnson, owner and principal at Johnsonese Brokerage. And our topic is how to protect you and your business and creative insurance.
I'm so excited for this. I think when you first mentioned this topic, it was something that it's one of those things in the back of your head where it's like, you know, as a creative and as a designer, you know, especially when you're working with clients, you need some kind of, you know, just support, some protection, just in case, you know, things happen to go wrong or there's little niggly things that happen throughout the process. But it was really like helpful to just have you like call out Chris and call out that role, because like for me, it's so helpful as someone who doesn't know those intricacies.
I would love to introduce Chris, who has been a longtime dear friend. Christopher Johnson is the owner and founder of Johnsonese Brokerage, LLC, an independent insurance agency with a focus on arts and entertainment clients. Johnsonese Brokerage is based in Chicago and celebrated its 15th anniversary in 2023. Johnson holds an MBA from the University of Michigan and a BBA from the University of Toledo. He is a past board member of the Independent Filmmaker Alliance Chicago. He is also past president of Michigan Ross Alumni Club of Chicago, and he was a program advisory committee member for Madison Media Institute's Film Bachelor's program. Johnson has guest lectured at Bowling Green State University, DePaul University, Columbia College, and Harrington College of Design. And now he's been on Cadence Podcast. So thank you so much. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks. I really appreciate that. So I'm excited to be here. And I agree that insurance is often the last thing people think about. And so that's part of our job, is to help them realize that it shouldn't always be the last thing you think about. So
absolutely. Super important topic. So do we kind of want to get into questions? Because I would just love to have Chris kind of talk about, you know, at a high level, what is the job? What do you do? Describe this for us.
Yeah, tell us.
Sure. So risk management is sort of the title we use for what we do. And sort of in the title is that we help clients manage risk. So it's both about eliminating risk, and then one of the tools for dealing with risk when you can't eliminate it is to buy insurance. So essentially, we're helping businesses plan for bad things happening and how to survive those bad things happening. That could be a fire or a lawsuit. And without insurance, typically a business would fail when something like that happens. And that means a loss of income to the people involved in the business, the owners of the business, if you have employees. So it becomes serious. And Yen was mentioning one of the things about, you know, as you get older, you know, one of the things too is when you think about if you start a family. So if you have other people dependent on you, like a partner or a spouse or children, then it becomes even more important to think about what happens if something bad happens in my business that could affect my income. Mm-hmm. And how do I survive that? And that's really what insurance is about. So it's our job to think about all the bad things that could happen to your business based on what it is you actually do, and then helping you understand those things and find solutions for dealing with them so that the business lives to fight another day.
Yeah. Chris, I think a lot of our listeners are like me or Hafsa 10 years ago, right? So could you walk us through what it would look like to have coverage, or what kinds of things should artists and creatives be thinking about in terms of pitfalls when it's just me and I'm just starting out? I can kind of wrangle some of the mistakes I've had. I've definitely come into situations where I've heard artists come to me and say, I sent something off without, you know, a contract or an agreement or any kind of understanding of what the commission was supposed to look like, or I've lost a piece of artwork. Like, what should an individual be looking for and thinking about when they're first starting out?
Yeah. So you kind of want to think about that insurance is not a one and done kind of thing. It's a thing that grows and changes with you as your business changes and grows and as your stages of life change and grow. But if you're a person just starting out in your own business, probably the most basic coverage you want to think about is general liability coverage, which is really something that all businesses need. And I always say to people, you know, if you're just working by yourself and creating your art, doing your art, that's still a business. You still have a business. The memory device I use with people for general liability is the word general means it relates to the general public. So injuries or property damage you could cause to the general public. And liability means it covers things, injuries or property damage that you're legally responsible for. It was your fault that this thing happened. Mm-hmm. And the most basic thing you can sort of think about there is someone comes to visit your studio and they trip and fall. Mm-hmm. That's a general liability claim. Or you visit a client and, you know, you're showing them art or something and you do damage to a wall. That's a general liability claim. You plug your laptop in at a coffee shop and someone trips over your cord and gets hurt. That's a general liability claim. So, you know, it's just sort of the most basic type of insurance. Another thing you should think about when you're starting out is, let's suppose you're creating some type of physical art. You want to think about, do I have a supplies inventory that's valuable? Like, think about if you're a painter, how much all of your paint supplies, you know, cost you, that type of thing. Or if you have expensive tools for making your art, then you may want to think about getting property insurance to ensure the value of those things so that, let's suppose you have a fire or a tornado and you lose your supplies, you lose your gear. You can't make your art without those things.
Right.
You need the money to be able to replace those things so that you can continue creating your art, so that you can continue generating an income. So those are some of the most very basic things when you start out that you want to think about is general liability insurance and commercial property insurance.
So one question kind of related to this, and this might be, you know, completely obvious based on what you've just described, but what are the pitfalls of not having this kind of insurance? Like, could you get in trouble? Are there tax ramifications or?
So they're primarily financial ramifications, just that, like I say, you have there's a fire at your studio building, all your supplies are lost. If you can't afford to replace those supplies all at once, you can't make art, you can't keep your income going. So it's mainly financial impacts with most types of insurance. There are, you know, you'll have contractual requirements often to have insurance, like your landlord might have it, or some of your clients might have requirements. And so there, if you didn't have them, you'd be violating a contract and could be sued that way. There's also, in certain situations, like if you have employees, workers' comp is required by state regulation, workers' compensation insurance. And if you don't have that, you can be fined for every month retroactively that you didn't have it while you were required to have it. So there are some regulatory requirements, but the biggest thing is just the financial impact to you, the business owner. And like I say, even if it's just you, you're still a business owner. You're still operating a business. So you still have, you know, financial risks if you don't have insurance.
Yeah, this is where I get to do my plug, because I have been, I think I've been using Johnsony's brokerage for maybe next year will be our 13th year or something like that.
Yeah.
And I have to say, it has been so seamless and so easy to work with you and your team. And besides that, I think that for a lot of young creatives, they don't know how to go about this process. And I have to just tell people it's really, really painless and it's very quick and it's not as costly as people think or make it out to be. And like we're talking about the ramifications of like losing all of your tech equipment, your laptop, your software, like just the fear or the thought of something like that happening, does it, it definitely outweighs like the 10 minutes a year that it takes me to renew the policy or something like that. It's so easy to do. So I can't convey to our young listeners and really just any listener out there that is starting up a new venture to do this thing, because it's really vital.
Yeah, that's a good point, because, you know, the world of work has changed and people start new businesses throughout their, you know, lifespan now. It's not just a thing that young people do. People of all ages start businesses and they have the same issues when they start. So that's a good point.
Yeah. I feel like entrepreneurship is such a big thing, like you were saying, just among young people. Cause it's like, it's so easy now to just, you know, kind of start a business and, you know, start creating something, start shipping it. And I definitely speaking for myself, you know, back when I was in that position, you know, something like insurance wasn't something that, you know, I even thought about. You know, I did think about like, oh God, what if I lost my laptop? What if, you know, there was a fire or somebody broke in and, you know, everything that I used to create my livelihood was gone. It's like, oh, well, I guess you just start over, right? But knowing that there's something in place that can help you and, you know, kind of support you if, you know, it does come to the worst is, you know, it's valuable knowledge to have.
Yeah. And there is something about the peace of mind has value that, like you say, when you were worried, oh my God, if this happened, I would lose everything. If you have insurance, you have some peace of mind that you would not lose everything. That, you know, I'm not going to pretend that, you know, if your studio burns down, it's not going to be a big hassle and there's not, you know what I mean? But, you know, money doesn't solve every problem, but it can help solve a lot of problems. And, you know, it does help recover. It helps recovering from something like that, making it a lot easier. And I mean, you can just think about your own home. If your home burnt down, you know, yes, it's going to be a hassle and you're going to miss, you know, things that had sentimental value that can't be replaced and all that. But certainly money is going to help a lot getting you back on your feet and getting you back on your feet faster. It's the same thing for your business. So,
would you say then that, so let's say for a mid-sized business that, like you mentioned earlier, that does have employees and people that are reliant on you, is that scenario really different than being the independent person that has coverage? What kinds of coverage would you look at?
Yeah. So once you hire people, then the first thing you're looking at is workers' compensation insurance. And that is the most, when we're talking about things required by state regulations, that's the most common. All the states except for Texas require workers' compensation insurance if you hire traditional employees, meaning people that you pay payroll taxes on and give them a W-2. Most states in most situations also require you to have workers' comp if you hire people individually on a 1099 basis. So I go directly to you, Yen, and hire you to do some work for me. I typically have to have workers' compensation coverage for you as well. And workers' comp covers if a person has a work-related injury or disease. So work-related injuries are easy to understand. You know, somebody's using some kind of cutting tool and they cut their finger and need stitches. You know, that's a work-related injury. Somebody drops something on their foot at work. That's a work-related injury. The injury part's kind of easy to understand. Work-related diseases are a little bit tougher, but if you think about like black lung, which is caused by working in coal mines, that's a work-related disease. You pretty much can't get it anywhere else but work.
The mold.
If it can be shown that you were exposed to the mold at work, yes. Mm. The things that wouldn't be necessarily work-related are communicable diseases because the employee could catch it anywhere. You can't really confirm it's work-related. But workers' comp pays two things. It pays medical expenses. So the person has to go to the emergency room and get stitches. It pays for that. Or, you know, if it's something much bigger, they need surgery or something, it pays for that. It also pays if the person's injury is serious enough that they're either temporarily disabled or permanently disabled. It helps pay their lost income. It pays disability income so that the person is not destitute going forward because they can't work. So that is the key thing to think about when you add an employee. The next thing you want to think about once you get employees is how do you keep those employees? Because hiring and training employees is expensive. And so there's a whole group of insurance products called group benefits. The most common thing that people are familiar with is group health, where your employer provides health insurance for you. And so as you add employees, these group benefits things are things you might want to think about that helps retain employees, because buying health insurance individually is more expensive than being part of a group plan. And in the U.S., it's not done this anywhere else in the world, but in the U.S., it's typically through your employer that you get your group health insurance. And so that's something to think about. And then there's other group benefits, like obviously retirement plans, group life insurance, those types of things. But the first two things to think about with employees are workers' compensation insurance, and then if you want to offer any type of group health insurance.
That is so helpful to know. And I know that there are a lot of people listening that are just wondering, like, how do I make the jump, right? And I think it's so helpful to hear somebody that specializes in this space talk about it, because I think that is a barrier to growth for a lot of small businesses that don't recognize that, how am I caring for and how am I retaining the people that I bring in?
Right, right. Yeah, I think it's well, first of all, some things are required by regulation, so it's the law, you have to do it. But it's just so important to think about the costs of bringing on employees, and that there's value to providing coverages for them that makes them want to stay with you and that makes it possible for them to stay. Because as a small employer, you're competing with larger employers that can offer more. And so you want to be, you know, as competitive as you can in the benefits you offer your employees to keep them with you, as opposed to them being poached by bigger employers that can offer bigger paychecks.
Right. So, right. Mm-hmm. So kind of a more of a process question for you, Chris. What are some of the quirks that you've identified, you know, as you work with creatives in particular, when it comes to, you know, their unique insurance needs?
Yeah. So, I would say one of the things that's just unique is that insurance agents don't often understand creative businesses. So that's probably one of the bigger challenges for people, is they sort of oftentimes have to educate their agent about what they do. And so I would say, you know, for if you have any kind of unusual business, you know, I always use dry cleaners as the example, right? There's a million dry cleaners in the country, right? So every insurance agent knows what a dry cleaner does. But if you have a more unusual business, you may want to search for an agent that more specializes in that, so that they understand what you do, so you don't have to spend your time educating them on, here's what a filmmaker does and why I need insurance, you know? So that's, you know, like kind of an important step. But I would say you know, from the agent side, one of the things that, one of the value we like to think we bring, at least, is that, you know, creative people tend not to think of themselves as business people. And that, you know, we help to educate them that, yes, your art practice is a business. And when you have your creative hat on, you don't need to think of it that way. But then you also need to have a business hat of how I manage this as a business. And so we try to help educate them on the business side of things, and why those things are important, and why it enables you in the long run to do the creative things that you love. And we, you know, I get that people don't like talking about insurance. It's not fun thinking about the bad things that can happen. And it is complicated. You know what I mean? Like, so I think it's important for us that we understand those things when we're dealing with people, and, you know, try to meet them where they are, and not assume that, you know, that they're experts in insurance when they come to us. But it's also about really understanding creative businesses, what you do, how you do it, how you make money, you know, what your exposures are, those kinds of things, so that, again, you don't have to educate us on those things.
Well, that brings up a good point. Chris, could you tell us, like, who and what you insure? Who do you work with?
Sure. So our sort of biggest group of clients is filmmakers. We insure film productions. We also do theater productions and all the kind of related businesses that go with that. So you know, camera rental houses and, you know, prop houses and stages and all those sort of things. We do music and live events, and then visual artists. Those are all sort of you know, big businesses for us. And then, like I say, all the sort of businesses that kind of wrap around that, photographers and graphic designers and all of those things. And how the fancy way we like to describe it is that for our clients, intellectual property is their biggest asset versus physical assets. Like if you think about it, you're a retail store, your biggest asset is your physical building and your inventory, very physical things, you know. Our clients, the biggest value they have is their ideas and the things they create. And so that's sort of where we focus, is specializing on people that intellectual property, ideas are their biggest assets. And there's a whole realm of insurance that goes around dealing specifically with intellectual property, with ideas, how you insure ideas, which sounds crazy to people, but one that people usually understand is in the film world. So let's suppose, you know, I write a film about, you know, three people living at the North Pole and it becomes this big breakthrough hit. Well, then suddenly somebody somewhere else says, you know, I wrote that exact script 20 years ago and they sue me for copyright infringement. That is, you know, the concept of insuring an idea. So we have a type of insurance called errors and omission insurance that will actually insure the content of a film. So if somebody sues you over a content saying it was their idea, it can also be saying that you defamed me in the film. You know how films at the end always say, you know, it's not based on any actual characters. So you write a film about an insurance agent who's a pain in the ass. And I say, oh, my God, that's me. They defamed me in their film, you know, and I sue. That, you know, is something too. So you can actually be insured over the content of your art. And that applies to photographers and all types of visual artists, authors, anyone who has creative output. We can insure the content of that output in case you're sued over it. And there's lots of famous cases of artists being sued. Certainly in the music world, it happens a lot where, you know, this piece of song sounds exactly like the song I wrote 10 years before, you know, or
you stole my beats.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, for visual artists, you know, you did an interpretation of another piece of work and that person sues saying, yeah, no, you just copied my work. You didn't interpret my work, you know, so there's all of that type of stuff comes up in our world of insuring those types of things. So,
I'm going to ask a really dumb question, but in the spirit that someone else would have this dumb question, is this, would this kind of, you know, having this protection in place for, you know, say an idea or, you know, music or whatever it might be, is that different than getting something registered through like the copyright office?
Yes, it is, because the registering through the copyright office is really a legal issue, and there's certain protections and things that gives you the insurance is about defending you if someone makes a claim, regardless of what registration you have and things. So the big thing to think about is that you don't have to have done anything wrong to get sued. You know, someone may think your beat sounds like their beat, but it really, you know, you created it independently. But if you get sued, you're still going to have legal costs to defend yourself and things. And so the insurance will pay those legal costs. So you can still be sued if you've, you know, registered your copyright. So it's an additional protection, you know, and insurance and legal often go hand in hand. So, you know, obviously that's a whole nother discussion, but you know, you know, to protect your career, you need both legal, you know, support and insurance support. They go hand in hand.
That makes sense. I feel like we're just grilling you, but this is all just so insightful, you know, especially.
I think it's fun because it keeps me fresh about thinking how to explain insurance things. So it's helpful to me. So no problem. Grill away.
Okay, good. So we try to focus on not only all the labor intensive parts of our livelihood, but Chris, I'm really curious, now that you've hit your 15th anniversary, congratulations. How have you personally made decisions to see the shift in the growth in your business? What parts of it are you parsing out that you enjoy and get excited about?
Yeah. So I still think the one thing that's always been from the beginning is that helping creative people create what they create, you know, enabling them to do what they do and then getting to see the output. And I use film as an example a lot just because it's easy. But, you know, we have a page on IMDb. I think most people know Internet Movie Database that lists the films we've insured. Mm-hmm. And it's just really fun for me to see that and think, you know, some of those films might not have been made if we didn't insure them, you know? Mm-hmm. So, or going to an artist opening and saying, oh my God, you know, this is our client and we help this happen. So that's one of the big joys for me is still that, is seeing the output of our clients. Mm-hmm. We have a client that does primarily kind of big art installations in like major office buildings and condo buildings and things like that. And like randomly walking in a building and saying, oh my God, that's my client's work right there, is a really fun thing for me. So it's things like that that I really enjoy. But it's also, you know, bringing on new people into the business. Like I hired someone in, I think, July of this year, who's brand new to insurance and, you know, is a fairly young person. And so it's fun to help somebody launching their career and, you know, do your best to make them successful. And I hope, you know, that happens. But that, I think, you know, there's joy in that and helping someone along in their career. So
absolutely. I love that. And hopefully through this podcast, maybe someone will somehow be inspired to, you know, take their skill sets into the insurance realm for creatives. That's
Yeah. There's definitely, you know, there's people that do focus on people in the arts in insurance, but probably not enough.
Yeah.
So, there's more people that could.
We need more, please. Contact us.
So, but Jana, I actually thought you were going to make that an age question. Now that you've reached.
No. Wow.
Chris. This is Nee and Hafsa's opportunity to be professional.
Exactly. This is the one time I get.
No, actually, I thought that this was going to be such a wonderful introduction for the both of you. I want to toot Hafsa's horn a bit because I don't know if she mentioned to you already that she is co-director of the Independent Film Festival of Ypsilanti.
No, she did not.
No. So, I mean, I get to see Hafsa so little. I got to wave at you yesterday.
I did. I saw you. Yeah. I said hi, and then I left awkwardly, so I wouldn't bother you.
Yeah, it was so crowded yesterday, but we don't get to see each other enough. I know that you are really busy ramping up for the festival. It's happening in April.
Yeah, April, I believe, 25th through 27th are the dates that we're looking at. And yeah, so the festival, I think I've babbled about this before on the podcast, but it is Ypsilanti's, we're kind of branding it Ypsilanti's first independent film festival, because Ypsilanti really hasn't had a regular kind of annual film screening event. There's kind of been little pockets of things here and there. We have a couple of theaters. The theater that we showcase at is the Riverside Art Center, which is just this fantastic kind of historic building. It's a gallery space, a dance space, event space, and it also has a theater. And so it's been really fun to, you know, kind of bring this event to our community. And yeah, definitely as, you know, kind of a filmmaker and a film coordinator and a festival coordinator now myself, it's really been this interesting, you know, sort of learning journey of, you know, how to partner with people, how to collaborate, how to do all this sort of boots on the ground stuff that is very different from the pixel pushing I tend to do in my day job. But I feel like, you know, especially with work when it comes to filmmakers, you know, you kind of touched a little bit on how, you know, insurance helps to, you know, support their work. But maybe even zooming out a little bit to the perspective of a film festival, like, is that something you've ever had to deal with in terms of, you know, helping to cover them in the event of anything happening?
Well, it's funny that we've segued to film festivals because A, I love film festivals.
Yes, I love
them. And B, for over 10 years, I was on the board of an organization that produced a film festival. We produced the Chicago Underground Film Festival. So I have, you know, some experience with film festivals. Yes, both on the insurance side and on the insurance side, a film festival is an event. And so you do event insurance, and there your risk is mostly injuries to audience members. You know, somebody trips and falls going to their seat, you know, that kind of thing.
Slip on some popcorn.
For a bigger festival, they actually have event cancellation insurance. Let's suppose you had a huge snowstorm the day of the festival and no one could get there. You know, that's going to have a big financial impact on you. So you can actually insure that if bad weather causes the festival to be canceled or reduced or whatever, you get some insurance money so that you're still able to do the festival the next year, you know, right. That kind of thing. So we've done it both on the insurance side, and then I've done it, you know, been involved just on the volunteer side with film festivals.
Yeah.
I also worked a little bit with Reeling, which is the Chicago's Gay and Lesbian Film Festival.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. I almost want to kind of even circle back a little further just sort of to your backstory, Chris, because I feel like you have this very sort of bespoke knowledge of the creative world and, you know, the many diverse kind of forms that it comes in. So what is sort of your background? Like what was Chris before you became an insurance agent for creatives?
So I'm actually a corporate financial analyst by training. I have an MBA and I worked in the big corporate world. My last big corporate employer was Ford Motor Company. So I worked in Dearborn. And then 9/11 happened and Ford offered a buyout program and I took it and I moved to Chicago just because I wanted to live in a bigger city. And I had actually read this article that had a big impact on me. And basically the gist of it was, if you hate meetings, it's because you're in the wrong business. If you're meeting with people that you find interesting, you'll find meetings interesting. And so I thought to myself, who do I find interesting? And I really came upon, I find creative people interesting. And that's who I want to have meetings with. And so I was trying to think of, you know, what could I do to work with creative people? And however I got there, I came up with insurance as a way to that I could bring my business skills to people in creative spaces. And so it was sort of, you know, a very strategic plan on my part to get to that space where I worked with creative people, but didn't leave, you know, sort of my business skills. And
yeah,
I actually like business. So, you know, putting those two things together. So
yeah,
that's how it happened. And I did a lot of training. Like I opened an art gallery as sort of like a side business for a while. I actually did a certificate program at Northwestern called Connoisseurship of Fine and Decorative Arts. So I like to joke and say, you know, I'm a Northwestern grad. People here in Chicago. So, you know, I just did, you know, I just learned the business from the ground up. You know, I joined the board of a film nonprofit to learn, you know, that side of the business. And I do a lot of things that people say, why is an insurance agency doing this? Like I go to like bigger film festivals will have their industry conference with it, where it's supposed, you know, it's for filmmakers to go to and learn things. And I go to those and people will say, why is there an insurance person here? And I'll say, because you guys are my clients and I need to know what you know, you know, to do a good job of doing insurance for you. So I do a lot of that type of thing, you know, and in the different segments that I work in. So
I love that. I think, well, what you said is really important too, because I feel like in the past I've talked to a number of people who, you know, they have business degrees or, you know, some other kind of realm of specialty that, you know, is very different from, you know, what I'll describe doing every day. But they have this interest in partnering with the creative world, or they want to somehow pivot into, you know, working with designers or even, you know, becoming a designer or a filmmaker or a writer or artist. And I just think it's so interesting to see this sort of Venn diagram of, you know, of work that kind of closes in on each other, right? It's like you wouldn't expect there to be, you know, more of a technical kind of business component to creativity, but there should be really, because it's sort of peas in a pod. You need the business side and you need the art side, right?
Chris, I didn't know that story, I don't think. And I've known you for so long that I was just reminiscing and thinking, well, Chris has so much exposure to the creative world because we went to every damn opening.
We did.
A gallery, an auction house, film festivals, art opening. Like, we used to go to everything.
That was so much fun. Yeah, that was so much fun. And we learned so much and met so many.
Yeah, so many zany people that we still like reminisce and talk about to this day.
I actually, now this is really segueing, but I think the pandemic, one of its long-term side effects is that and maybe it's that I'm getting older too, but I kind of lost that habit of regularly going out to things. Mm-hmm. And it's more like effort now to do it. Like, ooh, right. There's an opening. And before it used to be, yay, there's an opening. Now it's like, oh, okay, I should get dressed.
Go.
Yeah.
To leave the house.
I also miss the momentum though of, and obviously, since I don't live there anymore, I feel like Chicago and most major cities used to have a string of things that you could do back to back in one evening.
Yeah.
It's really hard to find that really anywhere now, right? Yeah. It just feels very detached. So I feel like we lived through that kind of golden era when the galleries were still pretty concentrated in a couple areas, and now they're all dispersed.
Yeah, they're more spread out. Yeah. So you have to plan better and put more effort into it. And we're just reminiscing.
So this is the really fun part. Do you, Chris, I know that you had shared like a tactical point that you had sent us. What would be your one tactic for somebody that's just up and coming or thinking about starting up something?
I would say it's just to understand that there are tools out there to help you manage risk with your business, and that you should seek out those tools and seek out that help, because it is there, for you to take advantage of. So.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any sort of something we like to do is, you know, kind of try and share resources with our listeners. We'll have like links on the website and, you know, on Instagram when we share. Are there any sort of like readings or online resources that you might recommend that would help someone kind of wrap their head around what they might need for their creative business?
That's a good question. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. Mm-hmm. If you Google any, you know, type of creative field, like graphic designer, insurance, you know, you're going to find articles on it. Filmmaker insurance, you know, visual artist insurance, you're going to find stuff on it. There's a ton of content out there, but I think, and obviously I'm biased because I'm an insurance agent, but I would say try to find an insurance agent that says they focus on your field, you know, and they're going to, you know, hopefully be able to really guide you because they understand the risks that you face in your business, you know, and hopefully, you know, you want to find somebody who will be a long-term partner. So they're not just trying to sell you the most insurance today. They're trying to grow with you and provide products as your business grows enough to need them. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's an ongoing, you know, back and forth relationship, not a kind of one and done thing.
Absolutely. I love that.
I'm totally going to steal that and make that this week's homework assignment.
I
was just thinking about it while we were chatting. Like, it wouldn't take a lot to just Google graphic designer insurance, videographer insurance, whatever it may be. But I would challenge all the listeners out there that if you have not thought about it or ever looked it up, to just reach out to a couple of insurance companies and get a quote, right? Like, it can't hurt. And I hope that many of you will be pleasantly surprised and say, wow, that's totally feasible and I'm going to do it. And just to have that peace of mind. So just, I think this week's homework assignment would just be to get a quote, see what happens.
Yeah, it's a good exercise to go through just because the questions that you're asked on the application will make you think about your business And so even if you don't buy any insurance, I think the process can be educational of just filling out an application mm-hmm. and knowing the types of things that are important and that, you know, affect your business.
Absolutely. Awesome.
This has been so enlightening. I love this. This is every single episode I learn something new. And I think this has been one of the most enlightening for me, just, you know, given I work with a lot of technology, I have too much gear and I have home insurance, but I don't know if I have creative insurance. So that's something I'm going to take the homework advice.
Yeah. So you typically homeowners insurance will have a pretty small limit on what they'll pay on business property. So yeah, if you have a lot of gear, you know, and gear insurance is, this is an insurance agent saying it obviously, but relatively inexpensive. So I think that's something you should look into, definitely.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Chris. I just want to personally thank everyone who has been listening to us and taken the time out of their day to take in the knowledge and hopefully learn something new. We're very excited to hopefully come back for a season 2 in 2024. But in the meantime, I hope we have fulfilled your creative cadence for the time being. I need a different sign off.
That's so good. I like all of the references to rhythm and cadence.
Rhythm and cadence. Cool. Yen, do you want to do like our sign off or shall I?
I like when you do it.
Oh, okay. my podcast voice. I have my new podcast microphone, so I'm going to get the most use out of it.
Use it up.
If you like this podcast, be sure to heart, like, and subscribe to Cadence wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at Cadence Podcast, or check out our episodes and more at thecadencepod.com. We are proudly based in Ypsilanti, Michigan, recording from the podcast studio at Venue by 4M in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And we hope that wherever you're creating from in the world, you are marching to your own cadence. Thanks for listening.
Bye.